إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا ليبلونكم الله بشيء من الصيد تناله أيديكم ورماحكم ليعلم الله من يخافه بالغيب فمن اعتدى بعد ذلك فله عذاب أليم وقال تعالى والعصر إن الإنسان لفي خسر إلا الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر وقال النبي صلى الله تعالى عليه وسلم إذا عملت الخطيئة في الأرض من شهدها فكرهها كان كمن غاب عنها ومن غاب عنها فرضيها كان كمن شهدها أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام صدق الله المولانا العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم ونحن على ذلك من الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين Honorable علماء اكرام Respected brothers, elders, mothers and sisters I have selected one chapter of the Quran as the discussion today Surah Al-Asr A chapter perhaps which every one of us have well memorized Our children have memorized this surah We commonly read it, a very short, a very simple chapter of the Quran. But unfortunately, our knowledge regarding this chapter is only that little which I have mentioned. What is it? It's a short surah of the Quran. It's an easy surah of the Quran, commonly recited in sunnat and nafil namaz. Imam Shafi rahimahumullah, if we want to comprehend and understand or get a glimpse of the depth of what Allah has made mention in the surah, then we will have to knock the door of Imam Shafi rahimahumullah, nawwar Allahu marqadahu, that the great scholar like Imam Shafi rahmatullah alayhi says, that wallah, if Allah was only to reveal Suratul Asr in the Quran and nothing else, if the Quran in its entirety comprised of only this chapter, there's so much guidance in this one chapter, that I swear by the grandeur of Allah, it is sufficient for the guidance of humanity till the day of Qiyamah. The concluding verses that are commonly recited when we terminate the khutbah, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُ بِالْعَدْلِ وَالْإِحْسَانِ My understanding and your understanding of this verse is that when you listen to this khutbah, it means that now the sermon is over, the salah is about to commence. If we want to know what depth has been mentioned in this verse, then a sahabi by the name of Aktham bin Sayfi radiallahu anhu says, when I heard this one verse of the Quran, I was convinced that Islam is the true religion. A sahabi by the name of Uthman bin Maz'un radiallahu anhu says, I had accepted Islam, but the reality of Islam had not entered my heart. When I heard this verse, I was convinced and the depth and the sweetness and the beauty of Iman had now descended into my heart. In essence, in these two verses of the Quran, two lines of the Quran, Allah Rabbul Izzat mentions such important and pertinent points that indeed volumes can be written on the commentary of this one chapter of the Quran. Very briefly, we will explain. Allah says, "Wal asr, I swear by time." Allah takes an oath by time. "Innal insana lafi khusr." Verily, man in its entirety, human being, the human race is in loss, is in failure, is in destruction. Then Allah makes some exception to these failures. "Illal ladhina amanu," with the exception of those who bring iman. And proportionate to how many of these qualities we will inculcate, that to that extent we will safeguard ourselves against the failure. Number one, the first quality required to be saved from failure in the light of this verse is to have iman. With the grace of Allah, we thank Allah that all of us have iman. May Allah keep us with iman perpetually and let us leave this world in the condition of iman. Ameen. But then Allah goes on to say, إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. Iman coupled with righteousness, coupled with obedience, coupled with a life living according to the dictates of Shariat, governing our entire life by the principles of Deen. The first two required qualities, in essence, Iman and Amal Salihah. These two qualities, if we have to analyze, it is sufficient for one's own protection. But Allah says this is not yet enough to be completely saved from this doom and destruction and failure. The third required quality to be saved from this failure, which the Quran makes mention of, is وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالْحَقِّ وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالصَّبْرِ. Iman and Amal Salihah is to the extent of protecting oneself. But then Allah says the believers is that group who have not come as individuals, but rather has come as a collective nation. So what is the demand of this being a universal nation? The fact that we come as collective people, we stand together, we share the same deen, we stand on one platform, we congregate and converge in the house of Allah. This spirit of unity and congregation, what does it demand from us? It demands from us what is to follow in the next two verses. وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالْحَقِّ وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالصَّبْرِ. The constant mutual encouragement of our brothers towards the obedience of Allah. So, I will be a liar if I claim to say that I love my brother and I allow him to disobey Allah. It does not hurt my heart. I see him daily, days and months and weeks are going in his life without him prostrating before Allah, without him obeying Allah. My claim of loving my brother will demand that I will have to feel the hurt in my heart to see what is happening to my brother. And it is only when I will inculcate this, does my Lord exempt me from the failure of both the worlds. إذا عملت الخطيئة في الأرض من شهدها فكرهها كان كمن غاب عنها. نبي كريم صلى الله عليه وسلم says in the riwayat of Abu Dawud, when evil, vice, transgression, violation, disobedience of Allah's orders take place on the earth, من شهدها, he who witnesses it, observes it. A father in his house is seeing his children disobeying Allah. A husband is seeing his wife. The wife seeing the husband, vice versa. He who observes and witnesses Allah's disobedience, فَكَرِهَهَا, but he dislikes it. He detests that action. And from his heart, he's hurt. He feels the pain and the agony. He addresses his son, his brother, his relative, his neighbor. At times in a diplomatic way, at times he raises his voice, at times he admonishes him, but all in the spirit to guide his brother. Nabi alayhi salam says, "Kana kaman ghaba anha." This person, despite witnessing this wrong, but because he disliked this wrong and his effort was to stop it, it is as though he had not witnessed this wrong, and it was as though this wrong took place in his absence. He will not be guilty of being part of this wrong in any way. But furthermore, man ghaba anha, that person and that Muslim, male or female, who was absent at the time of Allah's disobedience, but when informed that your brother is disobeying Allah, your cousin is disobeying Allah, the ummah is disobeying Allah, people are challenging the obedience of Allah, the youth are rebelling against Allah, when he was informed about the wrong and the vice happening around, it did not hurt him, it did not offend him, it did not strike concern in his heart. Nabi alayhi salam says, "Kana kaman shahidaha." Such a man will be guilty of being part of every sin that is taking place in the entire world. So what is the spirit in this ayat? That we have mutual encouragement. The spirit of love that we possess for our brothers will demand that we love them, and in the spirit of loving them, to see how best we can guide them to the obedience of Allah. At times if my brother comes to me and asks me for forgiveness, my demand of being his brother in the name of Allah will require from me that I forgive him, I pardon and I overlook. There is such a beautiful hadith written in the books of hadith. Sahaba Ikram Ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhi majma'in was seated with Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And suddenly Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu glanced at Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he seen a broad smile on the blessed face of Nabi alayhi salam. So he said, "Oh Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what makes you smile?" Nabi alayhi salam says, "Rajulani min ummati jataya bayna yaday rabbil izzah." "Oh Umar, what can I tell you? I am visualizing a scene that is to take place on the day of Qiyamah, where two of my followers will be kneeling before Allah. One will tell Allah, 'Ya Rabbi, khudli madlimati min akhi.' Oh my Allah, this brother of mine oppressed me in the world. He had usurped my rights. He had snatched my belongings. He had offended me verbally, physically. Oh Allah, I persevered in the world with the hope that I will be rewarded and compensated on the day of Qiyamah, when every man will be brought to the book. Today I stand before you and I demand, on the grounds of what you have promised, that this man pays me back my due for what he had deprived me in the world, in the form of reward and good deeds. Nabi alayhi salam, describing this to the Sahaba, mentions, then Allah will address this person who will be asking, beseeching and demanding. Allah will intercede on behalf of the other person. To Allah they both are creations, and to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam they both are followers. Brothers, we have children, one son fighting with the other. We're not going to favor, we're not going to take part. To us, as a father, it hurts me to see my two sons are fighting. Whether you are right or he is right, you are my two children, and if you're going to fight, you're going to hurt me. The one who will silent himself to make me happy, my dua will go out to that child. That is the spirit of any father. Allah will ask this person, كَيْفَ تَصْنَعُ بِأَخِيكَ وَلَمْ يَبْقَ مِنْ حَسَنَاتِهِ شَيْءٍ. What are you demanding from your brother when he doesn't have much good to his account? How much do you want from this innocent man? He doesn't have any good. This person will turn around and say, oh Allah, I've got nothing to do with how much good he has or how much evil he has. My only focus is on the promise that you have made, that on the day of Qiyamah, every man will be compensated. Oh my Allah, I am desperate because of the severe punishment of Jahannam. I have much evil to my side. I'm desperate for good deeds. This man deprived me. I want it, oh Allah. Allah will then tell this person, okay, leave him for a moment and look that side. It comes in the hadith. Irfa basarak, lift your gaze and look. So when he will glance to his left, he will say, oh Allah, ara madaina min dhahabin wa qusuran min dhahabin mukallalatan bil lu'lu' li ayyi nabiyyin hadha aw li ayyi siddiqin hadha aw li ayyi shahidin hadha. Oh my Allah, I can see palaces of gold and silver. Oh my Allah, I can see rivers of wine and milk. Oh my Allah, I can see the woman of Jannat. Oh my Allah, I can see the trees of Jannat. Tell me, this beautiful palaces, for which prophet have you created it? For which martyr have you designed it? For who have you built these palaces, of Allah? Allah will say, it belongs to no martyr, no pious, no Nabi. It rather belongs to that man who can pay the price, liman a'ta thaman. This person will then go forward and say, oh my Allah, who has the ability of paying the prices of the eternal palaces of Jannat? Allah will address this person and Allah will say, you have the money and you have the ability. Me, oh my Allah, if I know what will be the price, I promise I will give it to you. Allah will say, bi'afwika an akhi. If you can promise me that you are going to pardon your brother for my pleasure, that palace is yours. He will say, oh Allah, if that is the case, I promise you and I make you my witness that I will pardon my brother, and yeah, I pardon him. Nabi alayhi salam, narrating this hadith, then mentions to the sahaba that ittaqu Allah wa aslihu dhata bainakum fa inna Allah yuslihu bain al muslimin. Allah will tell this person, now hold your brother's hand and both of you go and enjoy that eternal jannah. So this is the spirit of a believer, that mutual encouragement, love, concern, forgiveness, to learn to forgive and forget for the pleasure of Allah. And at the same time, in the spirit of love, which this ayat demands from us, mutual encouragement towards the obedience of Allah. Allah makes mention of a beautiful incident in the 9th juz of the Quran. وَاسْأَلْهُمْ عَنِ الْقَرِيَةِ الَّتِي كَانَتْ حَاضِرَةَ الْبَحْرِ إِذْ يَعْدُونَ فِي السَّبْتِ إِذْ تَأْتِيهِمْ حِيتَانُهُمْ يَوْمَ سَبْتِهِمْ شُرَّعًا. Allah speaks about the Yahud in Bani Israel in the time of Dawud alayhi salam, of a nation that was living close to the oceans. The name of the city was Ayla. We know Allah had made fishing haram for the Yahud on Saturday, just as it is part of our teachings that we honor and revere Friday, that is today. Likewise, the Yahud, the Quran says, إِنَّمَا جُعِلَ السَّبْتُ عَلَى الَّذِينَ اخْتَلَفُوا فِيهِ. The day for which they have to revere is Saturday, As-Sabbat. And on that day, Allah had made it such that Allah had made fishing haram for them. But furthermore, Allah tested them, that the day Allah had made fishing haram for them, these people who lived close to the ocean, the fish came to the shore in the hundreds, if not the thousands. Like Allah makes mention, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَيَبْلُوَنَّكُمُ اللَّهُ بِشَيْءٍ مِّنَ الصَّيْدِ تَنَالُهُ أَيْدِيكُمْ وَرِمَاحُكُمْ لِيَعْلَمَ اللَّهُ مَنْ يَخَافُهُ بِالْغَيْبِ. That, oh you who believe, hunting is haram for you when you are in the state of ihram. And Allah revealed this verse on the occasion of Hudaybiyah, when the Sahaba were unable and they were not given access to make Umrah. They were in the state of Ihram. But Allah said, at that time, I'm going to bring that game and that animal so close to you that you can grab it with your hand and your spear. But I'm going to make it haram for you to see who can subdue his emotions and comply in totality to the divine command of his Allah. I'm going to test you. And I'm going to see how you are going to react. When it is not the time of salah, nobody walking in the shop. And when the azan goes, the shop, there's no place. You and I foolishly react by saying it's the barakat of azan, least realizing it's a test from Allah. A man cannot sleep the entire night, but fajr time he's snoring. At that crucial moment, the test comes from Allah. So Allah tested them that the fish came in the hundreds and the thousands. This nation were noted for rebelling and for their tricks against Allah, for assassinating and plotting to kill even prophets. فَلِمَ تَقْتُلُونَ أَنْبِيَاءَ اللَّهِ. So they started plotting and they made tricks. And what they did was, they made small ponds. Saturday when the fish used to come, they used to trap the fish in these small ponds. And they never used to remove it from the ocean on Saturday. Trap it on Saturday, contain it in that ocean, in that small pond. And Sunday they used to go and remove it from the ocean, consoling themselves that we have not gone fishing on Saturday. We have adhered to the injunction of not fishing on Saturday, and we actually removed the fish on Sunday. The Quran makes mention about this. Now when this vice took place in this nation, the Quran says that entire nation got divided into four categories. There were those that did this evil and initiated this wrong, and they started doing these tricks, plotting, planning, altering Allah's commandments, containing it in the pond and Sunday extracting it and justifying themselves. Another group came along and they said, no, this is wrong. I think you are making tricks with Allah. It is incorrect for you. Allah has made it unlawful. It won't be correct for you to touch this fish on Saturday also. But they advised them, admonished them for a period of time. And when they seen no much progress from those people, they terminated inviting towards good and forbidding from evil. And then came a third group. And they said, we are obeying Allah, it is sufficient. Allah has commanded us not to fish, we will not fish. You want to fish, tough luck, your choice, do as you wish. I've got nothing to do with you. If you like it, that's your choice. Lakum deenukum waliyadeen. You go your way, I go my way. And came then a fourth group. May Allah make us amongst that fourth group. The Quran then praises them. Who were this fourth group? They said, no. We stand as one ummah. We will refrain from this wrong. Until our last breath, oh my brother, I will constantly encourage you and protect you and safeguard you and prevent you that what you are doing is wrong. Whether you respond positively or negatively, that will not impact on my duty in inviting you and forbidding you from evil. Allah speaks about this. وَإِذْ قَالَتْ أُمَّةٌ مِّنْهُمْ لِمَ تَعِظُونَ قَوْمًا إِلَّهُ مُهْلِكُهُمْ أَوْ مُعَذِّبُهُمْ عَذَابًا. Really, brothers, if you had to understand Arabic, your hearts would burst. How can I convey in the eloquence of Quran what Allah has put in this message? When these people who themselves did not disobey Allah, but were silent about Allah's disobedience, that I'm going for Fajr, my brother knows he performs good, he doesn't perform, it's his choice. The group that did not disobey Allah, but with that, unfortunately, they were silent about the disobedience of Allah. They observed the wrong of their nation and they did not make any attempt or endeavor to stop them and protect them. They went to these other people who were protecting them from evil and preventing them from evil, and they asked them one question. وَإِذْ قَالَتْ أُمَّةٌ مِّنْهُمْ لِمَ تَعِظُونَ قَوْمًا إِلَّهُ مُهْلِكُهُمْ أَوْ مُعَذِّبُهُمْ عَذَابًا شَدِيدًا. Oh my brothers, you are not fishing, I am not fishing, those people are fishing. You can see they don't want to listen. Why are you people being so foolish to go and remind them constantly when the man doesn't want to listen to your message? So those people who are preventing them answers, the Quran speaks about it, no book of hadith or no other kitab, the Quran itself. قَالُوا مَعْذِرَةً إِلَىٰ رَبِّكُمْ وَلَعَلَّهُمْ يَتَّقُونَ. قَالُوا مَعْذِرَةً إِلَىٰ رَبِّكُمْ وَلَعَلَّهُمْ يَتَّقُونَ. For two reasons. Number one, we will continue telling that man that, oh my brother, what you're doing is wrong. Whether you're harsh to me or you receive me with a smile, my duty is, in the name of deen, I have to continuously remind you of what is wrong. For the simple reason that tomorrow on the day of Qiyamah, when I stand before my Allah, and humanity in its entirety will be summoned in the court of Allah, and Allah will call me as a father, that your children, your wife disobeyed me. You witnessed, you observed my disobedience. In your neighborhood, evil, vice, transgression, violation of my commandments was taking place. What did you do to stop this wrong? So if we will continue speaking to them, on the day of Qiyamah, when Allah asks us, whether they accept or not, we will have some form of explanation and justification. Oh my Allah, I went to the maximum of that which was within my reach to safeguard my brother. And secondly, وَلَعَلَّهُمْ يَتَّقُونَ. Perhaps my brother will not listen to me today or tomorrow, but with the hope that gradually, inshallah, one day, Allah will melt his heart and he too will be accepted for the truth. Furthermore, we terminate our talk. My time has lapsed. The Quran says, فَلَمَّا نَسُوا مَا ذُكِّرُوا بِهِ أَنْجَيْنَا الَّذِينَ يَنْهَوْنَ عَنِ السُّوءِ وَأَخَذْنَا الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا بِعَذَابٍ بَئِيسٍ بِمَا كَانُوا يَفْسُقُونَ. That when these people did not pay heed and they did not consider or pay cognizance about the admonishment that came to them via their brothers, and they ignored it, they were unmindful, they were negligent, they were oblivious about what was being told to them. Their hearts were sealed. Allah says, then our decision came. What was our decision? Our ultimate decision was to destroy those that were guilty of this wrong, أَنْجَيْنَ الَّذِينَ يَنْهَوْنَ عَنِ السُّوءِ, and to protect those people who practically, physically, personally abstained from the wrong and prohibited the wrong perpetually. Ibn Kathir rahimahumullah, perhaps one of the greatest scholars of tafsir, commentating on this version, on this verse, writes so beautifully. He says, نَصَّ الْقُرْآنُ عَلَىٰ هَلَاكِ الظَّالِمِينَ وَنَجَاتِ النَّاهِينَ وَسَكَتَ عَنِ السَّاكِتِينَ. The Quran, in its most profound and explicit manner, makes it clear to us that the evildoers were destroyed, and those that abstained from the evil and prohibited the evil were protected. However, وَسَكَتَ عَنِ السَّاكِتِينَ, the Quran is silent to us with regards to the abode and the condition of those who were silent about Allah's disobedience. The Quran is silent, neither condemnation, neither approval, neither has Allah condoned it, neither has Allah spoken against it. Allah is silent. Those that protected and prevented the evil, they were the ones that the Quran has guaranteed and protected that they will be safeguarded. We make dua to the Almighty Allah. He give us the ability to inculcate within our lives this quality of concern for our next Muslim brothers. Feeling, attachment, affiliation. And of course, the greatest concern would desire to see that my brother goes towards the obedience of Allah. Really, this is the greatest benefit that any brother can do to his brother. And this is the greatest need that we have to do for our brothers. That how we can make a collective environment of encouraging one another towards the obedience of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So that gradually, inshallah, our homes will turn into the homes of sahaba. The environment outside will be an environment of piety and obedience. With this spirit at mind, alhamdulillah, we have an ijtima taking place to accomplish this goal that have been put before you. With this desire, with this aim, and I implore one and all that has gathered here, that come to this gathering with a neutral mind, level-headed, to come and listen to the talks of Allah and Allah's Rasul, and to be engaged in the gatherings that will take place. I recall a few years ago, one brother was on his way to Sun City. So someone tapped him on his shoulder and told him, brother, there's an ijtima here where people will congregate, speak about Allah the morning, in the afternoon, in the evening, nothing else. Gather and speak about the greatness of Allah and mutual encouragement towards the obedience of Allah. In a nutshell, this is the outcome and the summary of the object of this ijtima. So someone told him, brother, please come here and spend the Jummah Salah, and thereafter you may decide where you want to. The brother came in this environment of the ijtima, where some were crying at the night that, oh Allah, thousands will come here. You open their hearts and turn them towards you, oh Allah. Perhaps people who had lived a life of disobedience, who had lived a life unmindful of you, O Allah, let them come here, let them cheer before you, and let them change the direction and the focus of their life. It was by virtue of the dedication and the devotion of some of those people that in that Jummah, that very same youngster pledged to Allah and he repented to Allah. And from that very same place, never mind going to Sun City, that was the end of Sun City for the remaining of his life, he changed the focus of his direction. And today, Alhamdulillah, he's a young boy obeying Allah to the best of his ability. So once again, in conclusion, I implore to one and all that as a veil of this opportunity that is our doorstep, try and come there in present and bring our friends and our relatives also there. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala infuse and instill within us the zeal of Sahaba, the spirit of Sahaba, and the spirit that was discussed in these verses of the Quran. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen.